Good morning. I love my church. I know a lot of you are here visiting. If you love your church, you're a part of the church. Would you give the Lord some hand clap? But if you love your church, though. I am Pastor Tiffany Carroll Brown, and I'm your narrator for this morning. Is that all right? You ready to get it started? Here we go. Welcome, dear friends, to the Resurrection Chronicles, a human library play. Prepare to embark on a captivating journey through time and space as we delve into the timeless tales of faith, courage, and redemption surrounding the life of Jesus Christ. In this enchanting performance, you will be transported to ancient lands and witness the awe-inspiring events that shaped the course of history. From miraculous encounters to moments of doubt and profound transformation, each story unveils a unique perspective on the enduring impact of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So gather around, young and old, as we awaken the spirit of wonder and inspiration within you. Let the Resurrection Chronicles unfold before your eyes, and may your hearts be stirred with joy and curiosity and timeless truths that reveal. Welcome to an adventure of a lifetime. We begin in the bustling back roads of ancient Judea. Amidst the whispers of miracles, Jesus' impact on children resonates deeply. There was a young boy armed with a simple sardine sandwich who finds himself drawn to the crowd surrounding Jesus. He was absolutely unaware of the extraordinary encounter awaiting him. Jesus takes his meager offering and miraculously multiplies it to feed thousands. The boy, his allegiance and excitement become immense. In that transformative moment, we witness firsthand Jesus' ability to turn the small and insignificant into a profound and magnificent miracle. Let's hear what happens through the eyes of children like him when Jesus' miracles ignite a spark of wonder, faith, and unwavering devotion. What miracle do you need in your life to be unlocked so that your loyalty can be to Jesus to tell others about him? Please enjoy the super sardine sandwich.
I remember it like it was yesterday. It was only about a year ago. My parents sent me on a mission to deliver a message to my uncle. It was gonna be a long walk, but my mom always packed my favorite. Can you guess it? Yep, a 5-piece dry sardine sandwich. Always hits the spot on a long walk. As you can see, I'm not the tallest guy, but that says nothing about my dodgeball skills. I could run with the best of them. I thought I was gonna catch a quick game when I saw this big old crowd. But when I got to the top of the hill, there were thousands and thousands of people sitting everywhere, and they were surrounded by a couple of men who were standing. Mr. Phillip was the one speaking to our group. And so he asked if anyone had any food. And I have always wanted to meet Jesus because everybody was saying he was the Messiah. But I don't know about all that, but I did hear that he raised a girl from the dead. And my father's friend got to come home because he was healed from leprosy. At first, I didn't want to go to their house. But if you would have seen his skin, you would just want to touch it. As Mr. Phillip was bringing me to the top of the hill, we got there and he brought me my sardine sandwich. And when I looked into Jesus' eyes, I knew Jesus was the Son of God. And can you believe he turned my sardine sandwich into a meal for over 5,000 people? one sandwich for over 5,000 people, I'm convinced he must be God. A few months later, though, I heard they killed him. At first, I thought, not even God is safe from the Romans, and I'll never get to see him again. My mother cried like never before, and I never want to see it again. But then, it happened. Jesus resurrected from the dead. I have got to go find him so I can tell him he can have my sardine sandwich and my soul. Jesus, I will follow him anywhere he wants me to go. Where you go, I follow. You're with me every step of the way. Here in the struggle, your love's enough to wash it all away. On the third day, yeah, you rose up and you beat death once and for all. Once and for all. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There'll never be nobody like you. There'll never be nobody like you, Jesus. Sometimes the world can get crazy. Sometimes my mind can get hazy. But Lord, you always come and save me. God Almighty, my Savior. You're my end, you're my new beginning. You're my hope, the one I can find in. You're the very air I breathe, the reason that I sing. Oh, I've tried it all. Nothing could fit the damage in my heart till I met you, love. Life, so I won't fall apart. On the third day, yeah, you rose up and you beat death once and for all. Once and for all. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There'll never be nobody like you. There'll never be nobody like you, Jesus.
That was a good book, huh? Telling your own story holds immense power. It's especially in the sharing of our experiences, even the ones society deems unworthy or shameful, that we find redemption and connection to the Lord. Jesus, throughout history, has impacted the lives of many who would prefer to keep their lives hidden. Yet these encounters reveal the depth of his compassion and transformative redemption. In the shadows of judgment and condemnation, there are voices longing to be heard, hearts yearning for acceptance, and secrets craving to be told. How has Jesus impacted those whom we overlook and are cast aside? Who among us has carried a story of restoration or of finding hope in the midst of despair? Let us dare to share our stories, to embrace vulnerability, for it is in the telling that healing begins and light shines into the darkness, darkest corners of our lives. Like the lingering wafts of perfume, our stories carry traces of divine encounters with wafts of grace. What stories lie within you, waiting to be told? I'd like to invite you to read O de Redemption. That was me moving too fast. Guys, we're going to start where we're supposed to be now, okay? John 21. In the tranquil haze of the dawn, the disciples, disillusioned by the death of Jesus, set out to fish. But once again, the night yielded nothing. And as the sun ascended, a figure stood on the shore, calling out, "Friends, have you caught anything yet?" They admitted their fruitless toil. The stranger then urged, "Cast your net on the right side." Obediently, they obeyed, and the multitude of fish swarmed the net. The familiarity overtook John, and he whispered to Peter, "It's the Lord." Peter, seized by fervor, broke out of his clothes, dove into the sea, and raced towards Jesus. They gathered on the shore where a fire crackled with breakfast famously prepared by the master. In the gentle ebb of the morning, Jesus turned to Peter three times and asked, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you really love me?" "No, Peter, but do you truly love me?" Each time Peter affirmed his devotion, but his heart was heavy with the memory of his denial. Jesus, with compassion, urged Peter to answer the call to fulfill his purpose and to receive the assignment of shepherding his people. And as the waves murmured against the shore, Jesus once again disappeared. When John wrote these words, I believe he was speaking to you and I. Will you answer the call? Will you find and fulfill your purpose? Will you finish your God-given assignment? You know, there's a secret law in the kingdom of God. To truly possess God, we must give him away. For real this time, please enjoy Fishers of Men.
You all right, Pete? Hey, give him a second.
I don't believe he kept asking me if I loved him. Of course I do. He should know. He knows everything.
Well, you did deny him three times.
Come on, James. You ran off too, man.
Hey. You know what? In our hearts, we all left him.
Shut up, John. Always with the sappy stuff.
But yeah, guys, he questioned my love for it.
You know, it wasn't that he was questioning your love for him. It was more like he was gauging your commitment.
What? I almost cut that soldier's head off in the garden.
And that's why you need to stick to being a fisherman. But what are we going to do now? He appears, disappears.
You know, and he always telling us he's going to leave. But you know, he even gave me his mom to take care of.
You know, this is it, guys. This is what he's been trying to tell us. Mm-hmm. We should be fishers of men.
What you mean?
Think about it. The last 3 years, we saw him as a teacher. Uh-huh. We saw him as a healer, a leader, mm-hmm. and a pretty good cook. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. But then the miracles should have been a clue to who he really is.
Hey. Remember that time he said he'd tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days?
Yes.
This is what he was talking about.
Yeah. Hey, did y'all remember the little girl when he kicked everybody else out of the room except for us, and he raised her from the dead?
But hey, who could forget that blind guy in the streets? When Jesus healed that man, he was so happy and so loud, I bet he's still dancing.
And we were right there when he raised Lazarus from dead.
But we didn't know he could raise himself.
Guys, do you get it? Wow, he raised himself from the dead. Jesus is the Messiah. We've got to spread this message.
you know what? You're right. There's no way we can keep this quiet.
Yeah.
The Romans, they're going to try to silence us. So how do we get this story out?
Maybe we write it.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Okay. But you know, if we're going to be fishers of men, we've got to do more than just write it. We got to say it. We got to spread it. We've got to be it.
But he warned us that we may die if we tell the truth.
Well, what would you rather do? Die with a story inside of you, or tell the world about a man who conquered death?
Give it up for the fishers of men. Back on course. Telling your own story holds immense power. It's especially in the sharing of our experiences, even the ones society deems unworthy or shameful, that we find redemption and connection to the Lord. Jesus, throughout history, has impacted the lives of many who would prefer to keep their lives hidden. Yet these encounters reveal the depth of his compassion and transformative redemption. In the shadows of judgment and condemnation, there are voices longing to be heard, hearts yearning to be accepted, secrets craving to be told. How has Jesus impacted those who we overlook or cast aside? Who among us carries a story of restoration or of finding hope in the midst of absolute despair? Let us dare to share our stories, to embrace our vulnerabilities, for it is in the telling that healing begins and light shines in the darkest corners of our lives. Like the lingering scent of perfume, our stories carry traces of divine encounters and wafts of grace. What stories are lying inside of you, waiting to be told? I'd like to invite you to read O de Redemption.
It all started with this alabaster box. You wouldn't believe what I had to go through to get it. It is beautiful though, isn't it? You see the oil inside? It's about a year's worth of wages. But me, well, I got it in one night. From one act, with one man, over and over again. He made me feel beautiful when he looked at me, like the only woman in the room. But somehow, looks just wasn't enough. Because with it came utter disgust and feelings of shame. You see, the oil inside may have been expensive, but because of what I had to do to get it, I couldn't bring myself to put it on my body. It cost me too much. And being a woman of the night, I must be an expert. Don't let these short thighs fool you. Not only did I have to be an expert, but I got to be stealth-like. They kill people for what I do. And I was hungry. I needed to eat. And he promised he'd be discreet. So I trusted him. But somehow, they found out. They must have been watching us. They had to. I mean, how else could they have known? So they dragged me naked in the square for all to see. I mean, I know I was wrong, but he's the married one. Why aren't they dragging him too? Then Jesus appeared. And he drew a line between me and them. They yelled, "This woman has been accused and caught in the act of adultery. She must be stoned." Jesus said, "He who has no sin, throw the first stone." No stones were thrown. And one by one, until it was just me and Jesus, they were gone. He said, "Get up, go and sin no more." And just like that, he was gone. And I couldn't believe it. I was very wrong. My sins were not excused, but now I am forgiven. So I had to find out where he was going to be. And I heard he was going to be at Simon's house. So I headed there. And when I got to Simon's, I knew they didn't want me there. There was no place for me or my kind. But still on I came. As the tears flushed my face, I stumbled. Till at last, I knelt before the master. As I began to pour from my box of alabaster. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. So don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair, You are there when Jesus, he found me. So you do not know what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. You don't know the cost of this oil. No, you don't know this cost of just one of my tears. Oh, oh, oh. You don't know the cost. The oil in my alabaster box. Oh, oh,
oh. So proud right now. As the curtains rise on the grand stage of history, we find ourselves amidst an unexpected camaraderie between two formidable figures, Pilate and Herod, the big boys of authority in their realm. Their discussion reveals a sense of disillusionment as their own authority, as they confront the humility and the confidence of Jesus. In their banter, we get a glimpse of the paradox of strength in weakness as Jesus' quiet resolve challenges their notions of power. What is it about this unassuming man that unnerves the mighty? And in the midst of political maneuvers, where does his authority come from? This is an idea we all must come to grapple with as the power and control are popular illusions that our society has highlighted today. How do we as kingdom citizens behave under the pressure of the bullying of the American agenda? Could Jesus' conversation with Pilate and Herod be a clue? Please read The Big Boys. Thank you.
What do you make this Jesus guy?
Well, the sky did go dark for 3 hours.
Why did you bring him back to me for trial? I couldn't get anywhere with him.
Well, you got further than I did. He didn't even say one word to me. Disrespectful, disgraceful, disgusting Jew.
I don't know. Seems more like to me the priests have vendetta. Actually being guilty.
What did y'all talk about? I was hoping to see a miracle or two.
Well, I was trying to find out who he was and why the priest hated him so much.
Yes. But what did you say to get him to talk?
So I thought I'd rattle his cage by claiming my authority, since he claimed to be a king.
By the power of Ra, this man is no king.
But wait, he spoke with conviction, power. He almost had me believe him. And then my wife had this dream, and as spooky as it sounds, he's usually right.
But how dare he not say one word to me? I am ruler of this whole district. It's under my command.
Well, if it were me, I wouldn't want to perform for you either.
Watch it, Pilate. We may be friends, but I am still your superior. Didn't this man know who he was dealing with? Doesn't he know that his life was in the palm of our hands?
Well, I said that to him, and he wasn't fazed.
Well, who's the one that died on the cross? You know, we need to make sure those soldiers guard his body with their lives. The last thing we need is another Jewish conspiracy.
Or, wait, I got it. What about an actual resurrection?
Do not speak that before the gods to hear. Oh, he's got another thing coming, if this is supposed to be another one of his magic tricks. And those believers of his better not think about stealing his body. I'm on to them. They're playing with the big boys now.
By the power of Ra. Nut. Nut. Hanu. Pata. Nefti. Nachmet.
Sobek.
Sakmet.
Sokar.
Selka.
Reshpu.
What? Anubis. Anukis. Seshmu. Neshet.
Hemsut.
Tefnut.
Heft.
Maftet.
Ra.
Nut. Nut. Pata.
Hemsut.
Tefnut.
Soka.
Sapkat.
Seshmu.
Respu.
Sobek.
Watet.
Heket.
Matet.
Neftis.
Nechmet.
Ra.
So you think you've got friends in high places with the power to put us on the run.
Well, forgive us these smiles on our faces. You'll know what power is when we are done, son.
You're playing with the big boys now.
Playing with the big boys now.
Oh, that's pretty. Every spell and gesture tells you who's the best.
You're playing with the big boys now. You're playing with the big boys now. You're playing with the big boys now.
Stop this foolish mission.
What's a true magician?
Give an exhibition how.
Pick up your silly twig, boy.
You're playing with the big boys now.
That thing good, ain't it? That's for being you, huh, Marissa? Just a bit of a family inside thing that's happening. Rodney and I, we planned this months ago just to surprise his betrothed, and he would be in the thing. So Rodney surprised his fiance. In fact, they're getting married next Saturday afternoon. All right, see if we can move on. In the timeless narrative of Jesus' life, often overshadowed by the grandeur of his miracles and teachings, are the profound relationships he had with women. Gathered under the shared name of Mary, three distinct individuals emerge. Mary, the mother of Jesus, exudes quiet strength and unwavering devotion. Mary Magdalene, once shrouded in darkness, radiates resilience and transformation. While Mary of Bethany, known for her hospitality and fiery spirit, offer insights into true relationship, friendship, and faith. Their narrative transcends time, offering glimpses into the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, whose compassion and grace knew no bounds. As for the Marys, their voices resonate, reminding us of the pivotal roles that women played in the life of Jesus' ministry. These women challenge misconceptions about Jesus' relationship with women and illuminate his enduring legacy of loyalty and love. This human chronicle is a slap in the face to the contrary narrative in the 21st century that Jesus didn't give his special attention to women. If they were here today, I believe they'd remind us of Jesus' heart-leveling impact in their lives, individually, and their commitment to tell us about him. Let's look at three legends of loyalty.
Good morning.
We're the Marys. I'm Mary Magdalene, you know, the one with all the demons that Jesus had to cast out.
And I'm Mary, one of Jesus' closest friends. Yeah. Oh, and Martha's sister.
Ooh, child, you better hurry up here for Martha to tell on you again. You know, she's always checking for where you at.
And I am Mary, mother to the Son of God, and this is a little of our story. Mary, why don't you tell everyone, when did you meet Jesus?
Actually, Jesus and I went to synagogue together since we were kids. Oh, do you remember that time when you and Uncle Joe lost him? I was one of the helpers looking for him.
Listen, you know that boy was a wanderer.
Anyway, Jesus and my brother Lazarus, they were so close, they hit it off so well that Martha and me, we would get jealous. So we would just tag along everywhere they went. We were four peas in a pod, okay?
Yeah. So then let me ask you, did you ever think that Jesus was special?
Honestly, he made us feel special.
Oh, yeah.
What? Girl, you know you had a crush on Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I mean, goatee, Albertown sandals, it was a thing.
He was handsome.
No. Oh, my God, I can't take a note. No. But honestly, we knew that he was different, you know, and we also knew he was so focused on his father's business that none of us stood a chance.
Not a chance. He didn't mind.
Nope.
So then let me ask you this. Was there ever a time that Jesus let you down?
Well, I mean, maybe it could have been that one time.
Your whole brother was dead. D-E-A-D. And Jesus took his sweet time.
Hold on. Jesus is always on time. Watch your tone.
My bad.
I thought this was my story.
My bad.
This your story. Tell your little story.
Yes, my brother Lazarus died, and we were devastated, but so was Jesus. I mean, he cried and everything, But it was the way he spoke to Martha and I in that moment. It had to be the saddest I could ever remember being. I mean, as soon as he got there, Martha went running. Know how she is. But me, I didn't want to see his face. But he just had to call for me. And I let him have it too. Jesus, if you hadn't been here, none of this would have happened. But it was his response that I wasn't ready for. Jesus said that this had happened. My brother had to die for his father's glory and so that we would see who he really was. Just like Lazarus had to die for a purpose. And so did Jesus. And this is what I want everybody to know because
but
mom,
wait, we haven't gotten to that part yet. Miss Magdalene, why don't you tell us how you met Jesus?
Well, my story is not so clean. I mean, I lived a whole lot of life before I met Jesus.
That's
okay?
Right.
And I was good at hiding my dirt. So before you come for me, look at me up in the Bible, it ain't in there.
It's okay.
But what I do know is, the day that man came to our town with his disciples, my whole life would never be the same. I didn't know I was so bound. I mean, I knew my life was in shambles and I was sick, but that nobody could help me. I mean, nobody. Not the priest, not my family, nobody. Nobody but
Jesus.
And what was really remarkable, when Jesus healed me, I never went back to that old lifestyle. Never. I mean, I was committed to following him and supporting him financially. Now, look, that's a ball for all y'all that don't like to give. When Jesus truly changes your life, you don't have a problem giving money. He gave me so much more. That's why when he died, I couldn't bear to think to lay him to rest with blood all over his body. He deserved to be anointed and buried the proper way. Now look, what I risen for was that angel. I mean, come on, angel. Wings. Okay. He came to town and told us that Jesus was alive. And can you believe it? He showed himself to me first. Why not you or Peter, but me? I was the first person to see him resurrected. That's why all of y'all to be saying that being a Christian is a misogynistic religion because Jesus paid very close attention to women.
Hold up, Magdalene. You know how men get.
You're right.
Mom, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm just remembering when Jesus was born. You know, an angel came to see me too. From the time Jesus was in my womb, I knew that he would be destined to do something great. But die? I was not ready for that. No child should die before their parents. And no parent should have to see their child suffer and be put to death. When my husband Joe died, me and Jesus, our relationship was so close. Now, he would wander off and hang with his friends. He would do amazing miracles. He helped a lot of people. But he always came back to see about me. He was doing it to the very moment that he took his last breath. His actions always spoke as loud as his word. Hanging from a cross, and he's making sure that I'm good, that I'm going to be taken care of when he's gone. Can you imagine looking up at your son, hanging on a cross, beaten, beyond recognition, and he's making arrangements for me. So much so, he made his friend John promise to take care of me when he was gone. He said, John, this is your mother. And mother, this is your son. And that's my baby. And that's the kind of son he was.
That's the kind of son he is. Yeah. And that's the kind of friend he is.
And that's what we'll tell them, ladies. We'll go and we'll tell everybody that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You took the cross for me. I know that you love me now and forever. I love you. I love you. You took the cross for me. I know that you love me now and forever. I love you.
What can I say? Reminisce about him every day. Me and my homie JC, we used to run and play. Many stories been told about days of old. Martha's always running me, attitude on fold. Let me set the record straight, I had a tooth that day. Lazarus' death, I feel, didn't have to go that way. Me and Jesus was tight, now he's nowhere in sight. My brother's laying there dead, Jesus tell me it's right.
That's right.
It didn't matter how I feel. Should've known he would never dish me a raw deal. You playing make-believe, pretending that ain't true. He ain't holding in a laugh when he say that he loves you. Time after time, even put it in rhyme. Denying Jesus' love, that's a serious crime. He took his death like a G. Rose only three, gave the only life he had. Shout out to the resurrection, he's back.
Took the cross for me. I know that you love me now and forever. I love you, I love you. You took the cross for me. I know that you love me now and forever. I love you, I love you.
They asked me who would love you. I said, Jesus do. Look, there ain't no deeper love for you to
choose.
When Jesus pulled up, all my demons pulled out. So I ain't afraid to say it. I ain't afraid to shout out about baby disciple. Who got more in the Bible? Me. Who was more loyal? Generous.
Me.
Never thought my soul be set free doing dirt in Galilee. Hey. I'm the symbol of hope, but know the power of grace. My life forever changed the day I seen his face. Man, I watched him crucify him. Try to play him like he ain't Messiah. Still said faithful in the moments he was dying. When I saw that angel, he was like, holla. Talk about Jesus was alive.
I'm like, shut up. You playing. I should have known he was going to rise again. My man.
You took the cross for me. I know that you love me now and forever. I love you. I love you. Beat the cross for me. And I know that you love me now and forever. I love you. I love you.
Come on, ladies. We can start at your house, Magdalene.
Come on, girl, come on.
You always got people.
Yeah,
well,
I do. Yes, I do.
Nowhere.
Is it good to your soul like it's good to my soul? Can you do one more? John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, and 24 and 25. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, they had locked the doors in the house. And Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples, seeing the master with their eyes, or their own eyes, were scared. And Jesus repeated himself, "Settle down. Peace to you." But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nails in his hands and put my fingers in his nail holes and stick my hands in his side, I will not believe it." I wonder how many of you are like Thomas. You just want to know for yourself if Jesus is real. Well, let's see how Jesus responds as we read, "See him for myself."
I was there when they took him. And Peter tried to cut that guy's ear off. And Judas, with that infamous kiss. I hate that he decided to do that to himself. He had no cause. Jesus loved him too. And Peter basically did the same thing. It was just last Sunday that I heard about how they hung him on the cross, naked, for the whole world to see. I did not want to see that. I couldn't bear it. Peter talked about the morning that the Marys went to anoint his body, and I remember thinking, what's the point? It had only been like Friday, Saturday, 3 days and the tomb was empty. I mean, is he alive or did someone steal him? I don't know. I heard how the Roman officials threatened the guards who stood guard that night. If he was stolen, they would be put to death. So that couldn't have been it. Were they lying or delusional? I don't know. But it was everyone, so that couldn't have been it. I mean, he did say that he was going to go somewhere, and I remember because at our last meal together, I asked him about it. I just didn't know where he was going and why we couldn't go with him after we had been together for so long, 3 whole years or so. When I got to the house that night, the doors were locked, and the buzz was electric. I needed to figure out why the guys were up in arms. Everyone said the same thing at the same time as soon as I walked in. We have seen the Lord. What? Seen him where? How? I mean, they didn't believe the Marys when they came back from the tomb. They said they saw an angel who told them he was there. And Jesus met them on the road. I couldn't believe that. But then the guy said they actually saw him, Jesus, here, alive. They said, I just missed him. Dang, I just missed Jesus. It had been 8 days or so, over a week, and everyone had seen him except me. I admit I was a bit jealous until I see his actual scars and put my fingers in his actual wounds. I don't care what they saw. I needed to see him for myself. And then it happened. He just appeared. I mean, the doors were locked. No one else opened it. Then all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in the room. Bright eyes. Big smile. Open arms, and me, wide eyes, open mouth, completely caught off guard. Jesus is alive. My story is for those of you who just need to see it for yourselves. You refuse to go off someone else's faith. You want to know for yourself. Don't worry. Jesus is so kind. And just like he did it for me, he'll show himself to you. But I'll tell you, just like he told me, blessed are those who believe without seeing. I've seen it for myself, and I know the story well. He's an ever-present help with a God that just won't fail. If you're thinking that my Father isn't capable of healing,
Let me tell, if you think that he isn't strong enough to solve your problems, let me tell, I know it for myself. And I know the story well. He's an ever-present help. With a love that just won't fail. If you're feeling that you've drifted way too far and he can't reach, let me tell. If you're feeling that you're way too damaged for my God to use you, let me tell. Myself, but the years have taught me well. There's no question that he's real. Ooh, I don't need nobody.
Resurrection Chronicles invite us into the sacred journey of faith, doubt, and unwavering devotion. Yet amidst the tales of miracles and redemption, a haunting question may linger in the air. Will we, like Thomas, demand to see before we believe, or will we embrace the unseen and walk in faith. Or maybe you're among those of us who have already decided to choose to believe, but you have not quite shared the story of Jesus to the ones you know and love. As we depart this theater of stories, let us ponder deeply what we will choose when faced with the enigma of faith, doubt or disbelief, hesitation or surrender. How can we, who more faith, be more faithful to spread the truth of Jesus' resurrection? Will we stay quiet or will we be loyal to our Lord and Savior to give him away by telling his story? The answer lies perhaps in the depths of your own hearts. What role will you play in the saga of faith? What legacy will you leave for those who are no doubt following you? These stories are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the living God, and that we may believe you may have the life in Jesus' name. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.